You're listening to an OTB AM podcast. You can watch the show or listen live every weekday morning at 7:45 AM. Subscribe to the OTB AM podcast stream for more stuff just like this. Anthony Moyes is with us this morning to help us to navigate the fairly predictable waters of the GAA weekend. A straightforward win for Dublin and Tyrone sticking their hands around the neck of Monaghan and slowly squeezing the life out of them.
Yeah, felt like that, didn't it? Really did, you know. But I actually felt for them. I thought they were going to get caught. And they probably should have been caught. I thought a draw was the fair result.
Extra time, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Come on, ref.
Yeah,
you know the drill right here. You give that free in at the end. It looks a bit bad, but there's been a few dodgy frees you've given to Tyrone already. No one's going to go back and go, oh, well, they all even themselves out, right?
Yeah. No, I definitely thought, because to be fair, look, I mean, the Monaghan fellas absolutely just emptied everything. I don't know with Tyrone, but I really thought 15 minutes ago I said Tyrone are going to get, they're going to get done here, and they had wasted an awful lot of chances. Now I know it was pretty similar on wide count, but at the same time Tyrone missed some easier chances, you know, and they just seemed to be kind of, it was like they were counterpunching, you know, they were taking their time, and then they were exploding into the game, but then they were kind of happy enough to sit back and just make sure that, you know, McManus was taken out and certain players that were shooting from distance. But yeah, I just think it should have went extra time. Should have. The referee now, you know, 3 minutes out of time and all that stuff. I just thought he didn't cover himself in glory yesterday.
There was maddening inconsistency at both ends of the field. And, you know, certainly my Twitter feed during the game was like, it's all in favour of Tyrone. It didn't really feel that way. It just felt that, like, what was a free at one end for sure was not a free at the other end. And there were too many handy frees that ended up resulting in scores. Like, it got to the level where free takers are so brilliant that if you get a slightly handy free 50 yards out or in, it's going to be a score. And there's just too many of them now, I think.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, there should have been, I think when you talk about the inconsistency in the referees, there were some outrageous calls, certainly on the Hogan stand side for Monaghan in the second half, and indeed the first half to a certain extent. They were talking in the Sunday game last night about how he was just inconsistent and overall things balanced itself out. And that's just kind of a very sort of generalized thing to say when
not
clearly
enough,
it clearly
that's
benefited
an Irish solution to an Irish
very
problem.
Irish thing to say. The referee benefited Tyrone yesterday. It was a 2-point swing, I would suggest, for Tyrone, that referee yesterday. It was poor. It showed up the standard of officiating that we're going on about over the last couple of months. But the GAA made the decision to appoint two referees over the course of the weekend who had never officiated at this level, really. I know you've got to give them a chance at some point, but perhaps, you know, Monaghan Tyrone in a game that was always going to be tight, where an official could always influence the results with one bad decision, maybe that's not the time to put in a referee. No. Fair enough for Dublin Galway, where there's going to be a bit more flow to the game, perhaps. And I do say perhaps there kind of deliberately, but not the game for a rookie ref at this level, no. So to speak.
I think a major issue is the understanding of how much communication is actually going on between the group, i.e. the referee, the linesman, and everyone else. Like, I mean, no one actually really knows. Like, I mean, it's still the old kind of joke that, you know, the umpires are just there because they're buddies of the referee and they're just there for the team samples. So, like, how much actual communication goes on? Like, I've watched over the weekend numerous times, the amount of overcarrying is just phenomenal. Like, I mean, three or four different occasions, especially some of the Dublin forwards, and McManus did it, where they kind of shortened their steps coming into a tackle.
Kenny has a good...
They're still steps.
Yeah.
And then they explode away, right, from you. Like, I mean, Kilkenny did it on the number five once.
Yeah.
Steph came, kind of shortened up his steps, then came inside him, never bounced. I'd say probably at least 9 to 10 and stuck it over the bar. And, like, I mean, the referee's right there. Like, you're right there. Like, I mean, you know, in basketball, if you travel with the ball, you know, boom, it's carried, it's called straight away. In sport, I mean, it's a fairly simple one. It's not like it's a, oh, did he tackle him? You know, all this kind of stuff. So how quickly, how easily would it be for just someone up in a box watching that to go, that's overcarrying, and he just blows the whistle, even if he missed it himself.
And it changes behaviour 3 months into everybody getting called for overcarrying. Nobody overcarries anymore because they're getting pinged for it.
Yeah.
It changes behaviour, and that's all you need. One little small period of time where it's called all the time and then it stops. It's like,
there's a lot of it. There's the running thing now that's happening on freeze. You know the thing
that's happening? What's the story with that? They were like, apparently this is noticed and it's getting called, and then stop calling it.
Yeah.
Which maybe goes against my argument. If you call it a little bit, it's going to stop.
There's been plenty of these new. Well, of course, everyone's always trying to put the edge. But the greatest ones now is obviously throwing the ball back out onto the field to slow down the kickouts, or someone, have some kind of a water boy, a la Carl Lacey or someone, to come running on across the pitch in the eye line of the goalkeeper.
That tactic didn't work as well for them yesterday because they were wearing red instead of white. I'm surprised the selector actually didn't put on a red polo shirt yesterday, kind of like Tiger Woods. It's like when you mentioned the balls on the pitch, that was so noticeable up in Clonus a few weeks ago that there's no nets behind the goal, so it was so easy for the fans to just throw a football on. It'd roll right in front of the umpire, and the umpire would just watch the ball. And the goalkeeper would have to come all the way back over to kick the ball off. It's like, come on, for God's sake, kick the ball off the pitch.
Is it written actually into an umpire's? Is that a member? Like, they cannot move from the post.
Must be useless.
Yeah. Can't even go 3 yards to pick up ball. Help out, goalkeeper. Yeah. No. Game has to be stopped.
Stay in your lane and wave your flags. Don't you dare do anything that might involve common sense.
It's funny because Aaron Fitzmaurice made the point on the show last week that a linesman wouldn't be human if he wasn't looking out at the referee, struggling and going, I could be in there next week, which I'd never thought of, right? And as you get to this level, and as the referees begin to become characters, sometimes post-career, sometimes in the middle of their career, you begin to appreciate that, yeah, they do all want to be out there. They have given their time and effort to become the best referee that they can be, which means getting the big games. And so maybe that communication isn't necessarily part of a team. Maybe the right thing to do is to have, this is a team and you're the linesman on this team, and next season we think you're going to be good enough to be an inter-county referee, but at the moment you're a linesman and you're training under this person, so you are all collectively responsible for the referee having a good game, and we will see that you get better as time goes on, as opposed to competitors on the same team.
I've often found it strange, you know, that let's say you could have Coldrick or someone like a Meath referee, but then he'd be flanked by referees from all over the county or all over the country, you know, rather than say him being with two referees from Meath who he would know well and who he can trust and who would have no problem in calling up on things.
Yes, yeah.
You know, you might even get, like, I mean, I could call into you and say, listen, and you might say, I missed it. And you don't necessarily, as you say, want to give, first of all, admit that you were actually wrong for missing it.
Yeah.
That rivalry thing, I mean, it is a strange, it's, I think it should be, and it's kind of like, well, the team are going to go ahead. You as a unit will get big gains because, first of all, we could hear the communication between you. It was spot on, you know, and then to do an analysis of the game. That has to be fairly easy. You sit down, just like a manager would do, and you say, yeah, you got that call correct. Absolutely, that call correct, that call correct. And I'm sure you may find then that certain referees are actually missing a specific type of foul, you know, be it over carrying or whatever it is.
Or the sneaky drag down from the forwards.
OTB AM.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie, championing the trade with a dedicated call centre.
Yeah, so we're going to start with the Irish Times this Monday morning here. So that's a picture of Matty Donnelly, I think it is, who is being strangled by Peter Hart, this time in joy, as opposed to the normal pictures that you see Tyrone footballers strangling people. So that's then post-match. Tyrone make final chapters, the Keith Duggan story. Regeneration game, Gavin's genius is to keep refreshing Dublin. This is the point that has most people terrified about, it's cyclical, don't worry, this amazing team of great footballers, like, we'll never see the likes of Bernard Brogan and Paul Flynn and Dermot Connolly again. And you're like, we won't, we're going to see Brian Fenton and Brian Howard. Yeah. And like, this is Brian Howard's first season. Howard has a jink. Like, he kind of came into the team as a halfback, sort of like he's going to be one of those hard-working half-forwards, but no, he's not. He's going to be like a Maradona-style creative player who will...
He's been seriously impressive. He's in line for an all-star at this stage.
He's got one banked at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Unbelievably impressive yesterday.
What position? The half-forward line? Is that automatically?
That's actually great for the all-star committee because they can put him wherever the hell they want and they can just allow somebody else to get an award. So probably half-back.
It wouldn't be ridiculous to say that he's played a bit of football at half-back. Like, anyway, or midfield.
He looked. The camera switched him at the end of the game and it honestly looked like it hadn't taken a bit out of him.
Yeah.
He's that type of, he looks to me like that type of an individual, but he is with himself and Scully, like, I mean, that is two awesome finds, because even actually if you watch them, they're so tuned in with how he wants to play. You know, there's no wasting of ball, there's no pot shots, there's no outside of the right of the right boot, you know, there's none of this thing. Everything is percentages. I saw someone saying the other day, I think their efficiency rate, what did they score first half? 1.7, 1.8 or something like this. Maybe 1.9. I think so. It was 10 scores. I think they had 11 chances. But all of them, which they never do, they don't even consider taking the shot. unless it's in the scoring zone and they have someone who, so in other words, I'm coming onto it with my right foot in the scoring zone. I'm not even, if I'm coming onto it with my left foot, which isn't as effective, yeah. I'm generally looking to slip it to someone else.
Yeah.
Like Mannion got a score yesterday that was phenomenal. He started the ball out under the Cusick stand side, pinged a beautiful pass across, and if you track him, he ran about 30-odd minutes into the game. He came across, sprinted into the space. The ball basically went from right to into the middle, out to the left. Someone found him with a hand pass. He pretended to jink inside to McCaffrey and he stuck it over his left foot. But it was all just the movement around it.
Yeah. Mannion's one of the few players who, it seems, is given license to go one-on-one against somebody if he sees it to be on. Actually, maybe...
I think that was specific to Galway. Who it was Declan Kyne marking him, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was the first score.
Yeah, I think the general theory this year has been whoever Declan Kyne is marking, you have license to go one-on-one because he's a brilliant footballer, brilliant with the ball in hand, but he is viewed as the weak link when it comes to a man-marking job in that Galway backline. Certainly that's what... That's certainly been the common theory around approaching Galway this year, is you get your best one-on-one player on Declan Kyne and you try and roast him, basically. And I was actually surprised, because that happens in minute one under the Cusick stand as well, yeah. where Mannion destroys him, and it's like, this could be a long afternoon for Kyne, or a long evening. And it didn't actually turn out to be that bad in hindsight, because it was spread out so in so many other places.
You know, the whole notion that Dublin are allowed to play free-flowing football, that's programmed. That's you're not allowed to shoot if you're in the wrong area. Which is completely taking the whole notion of them being street footballers,
absolutely,
and making them, it's complete bollocks, basically.
Yeah.
Well, no, it was true. It, like 2013, like that. This is the reason why we have this, is because there were street footballers who got outwitted in 2014, and that is the evolution of this team.
Yes.
And
correct.
I think as a result of that, I think there is no question that the peak Brogan and peak Connolly era helped Dublin as a group of individuals to be at their best. But as a team, they're at their most unbeatable now. Mm. Like, that 2013 team might be a better team, but it was far more beatable than this Dublin team.
I would like to see a proper rankings of which year's team is the best team.
Well, we'll do it at some point this week.
Yeah, because you probably look at it from a supporter's point of view. And I, you know what, maybe, you know, we can go to the attendances, you know, and talk about the attendances of the two semi-finals. People say, no, people are on holidays. But, like, there's enough people in Dublin to fill Croke Park, and there's enough supporters in Dublin, as we've seen, over to fill Leinster games on a, you know, June bank holiday, but in the past,
yeah,
not anymore. You know, I've chatted to a couple of Dublin supporters who would say, well, you know, the team is, it's kind of programmed, exactly to use your word. It's not, they don't really kind of see that kind of major flair. Now, of course, it's still impressive and it's still, but like I remember after the Donegal debacle, I remember chatting to Paddy Andrews and he said, listen, you know, the one thing that we're going to ensure is that we never get caught again like that. So their whole idea of being patient with the ball, you know, not getting caught with these long kickouts, not being caught. If you remember that game, I remember being at that game. And they just couldn't break them down. And then they were trying pot shots from everywhere. And there were wrong fellas on the ball and lads shooting from underneath the stand. That does not happen now.
No.
I wonder, like, because this year has certainly been the most mechanical of the Jim Gavin years. Like, what would Dermot Connolly feel playing in this team? Would he be like, this is kind of boring. We're very, very successful. And I'm probably kicking 4 or 5 points a game, but this is kind of boring. The ball hasn't touched the outside of my right boot all game.
That's the thing. He would just drop deep and ping those 60-yard passes. And
yeah, true.
Couple of quick comments for you. Dublin winning easy again. Yawn. Tyrone playing football. Yawn. Can't be bothered watching that final. Yawn fest. Hashtag OTBM, says Len Hall. Wayne Ryan. Jesus, lads. It's about how much either of those teams can get away with. The football was horrible. And the way you're talking is a bit like Barstool commentary. Sometimes teams dictate how the game is officiated. Hashtag OTBAM. This was to do with the number of bad frees, the dodgy frees that were given at both ends. The point that I was trying to make was that sometimes pushing the back is a free and sometimes it's like, ah, get up and get on with it, you're men. And it's like, well,
yeah,
which is it?
Yeah.
Either decide and stick to it at one end, it has to be the same at both ends. Colin McManaman, wise up, referee didn't cost Tyrone, cost the game. Tyrone should have been out the gate by half time. Yeah, you see, you don't get bonus points for not converting chances.
Correct.
You don't suddenly like, oh, well, they were the better team because they had loads of chances. You missed those chances.
Yeah, and I mean, the first 10 minutes, you actually see Monaghan try to get their matchups correct. So they obviously went out of the game plan of taking certain players out of the Tyrone, but they left other players free. So if you actually see it, if you watch those kind of first 5, 6, 7 minutes where, yes, Tyrone should have tagged on a lot of scores, you can see two Monaghan guys going to one Tyrone fella. And there was a lot of confusion, a lot of pointing, a lot of. But then, when eventually they got their handle on it, they actually tightened it up a bit.
Yeah, I'd say Padraig Hamsey is going to learn every little detail about Kieran Kilkenny over the next 3 weeks. He is going to be detailed with that job. There's no question about that. Like, we talk about how the game has changed, but Drew Wiley was just like, it made me feel nostalgic for the day of the good old fullback yesterday. Like, yeah. Teak tough. It was like, he was unbelievable. I thought he's guaranteed himself an all-star, I think, but another brilliant performance yesterday. There was elements of yesterday where it was like, this is actually okay, and I see yesterday's match is getting a really bad rap, but there was, like, as Kevin Kilbane often says in the show, he doesn't care how bad a game is as long as it's a close game, you know, and yeah. At least yesterday was a close game. We've seen,
I thought it was like, a great game.
The atmosphere was brilliant in the last 15 minutes yesterday. It kind of ramped up very nicely throughout the match, so you know, I'm not having the bashing of it too much.
Niamh Skelton says the only team that could beat Dublin is probably the Dublin squad members, number 16 to 30. Shane Martin says people forget that before they beat Kerry they hadn't won it in over 10-15 years. Dublin have worked where other teams haven't. Fair enough, they have better facilities and get a lot more privileges / money, but talking about splitting them up is stupid. I mean, obviously,
no. You were saying that tongue in cheek
a little bit. Yeah.
I mean, you just wanted to get this Dublin A versus B going again.
So Darren, Dublin should be split, right?
I would pay to watch Dublin A versus B. I would say that they're
just north versus south accounts, like proper
hop into a tree outside Parnell Park.
Yeah, no, it's DCU and I think they have security at the gates for the training.
Ah, there we go.
They can even afford security.
They have someone stationed there to keep them moving along.
I mean, ultimately, it's going to be north, south, and west. That's what's going to happen. That's the three. In 20 years' time, it'll be north, south, and west, right?
What about Fingal? Where do they go?
They'd become their own little thing as well.
They'd have to take South Meath with them as well.
Maybe we just kind of just redraw the borders a little bit. Just move them in a little bit. Kildare get a bit.
Yeah. If we get a little bit,
Loud get a bit.
I was properly nervous, like, for 20 minutes in the first half, I really thought,
oh, welcome to being a football fan.
For the first time in years.
Every time you play Mayo, you're pretty nervous. People forget, a lot of the commentary seems to be quite reactionary, where if Dublin win, people will decide what they'll say before they've actually watched the game. That game could have turned so easily. If that penalty goes in, Dublin are on the ropes. And I know you mentioned Howard is a wonderful player and Scully's really talented, but these lads are not used to pulling games out of the fire. And as good as Fenton is, how many times has he actually been in a losing team or a trailing team?
Never lost a Dublin, lost a championship match.
But that's what happens. Like in Donegal, they weren't able to fix the problems that were going on at halftime in Donegal in 2014. The players couldn't take responsibility on the pitch. And Jim Gavin looked a bit shell-shocked. He didn't know what to tell them.
I mean, I'd love to see, and we'll get into this when we're doing our analysis in a couple of minutes time, I'd love to see a team put it up to them to that level. And when Mayo did, those games did look like they could go either way. It hasn't looked that way ever since, so.
Yeah, like, let's not, like, Dublin are absolutely amazing, and I do stand by that they are their most unbeatable now, but let's call a spade here. It's their easiest All-Ireland, not just because of their brilliance, but because there isn't a Mayo-esque factor in this summer's championship.
Yeah, final one for this now. Conor McKeown, not the Herald's Conor McKeown, says, have to admit it, lads, Mayo are a box office in terms of the waves of support they brought and how they were able to go toe-to-toe against the Dubs. # total drama, you don't know what you've got until it's gone.
I miss the Mayo fans, I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I can't believe I'm saying this, but they were good for football.
Brilliant.
I think it's more, though, about the style of play that Mayo brought, rather than, you know, Galway brought a different style and a different setup, you know, so it was contained. It was, yes, they opened up a little bit, but it was more like Mayo never tried to contain Dublin. They went man to man. They said, okay, we're just as good as you, we'll take you on, and we've got enough firepower up the other end to try and, you know, the athleticism was obviously there, the speed, their half back line, you know, taking the scores. I mean, they had fellas who knew how to lock down Dublin players. Tyrone and Galway and, let's say, Monaghan would have brought something completely different, and you're going to have to see something different from Monaghan. Do I think it's good enough, though, that style to beat them? I don't think it is. Everything has to go right for Tyrone. Yeah. The same as everything had to go right for Galway.
And a lot has to go wrong for Dublin.
Well, I'm sure, look, we'll get into that in a minute, because we want to hear now from the two managers. Here's Malachy O'Rourke and first Mickey Hart, what they had to say after the game.
Well, I mean, if we hadn't a smile on our face today, we wouldn't be able to smile. It's just been a very emotional day, a very emotional trip for us, because we've been trying so hard in the last 10 years to get to this final, and there's a lot of stuff that's happened in those 10 years to the people of our county in various ways at various times, and we just felt we were doing it for all of them. We wanted to give them something to feel good about for the next 3 weeks and be in the biggest day of the footballing calendar, and we're really so pleased that we're doing it for all those people.
Would that be right in saying as well that perhaps you and your team feel that you've proven the naysayers wrong today?
Well, and we don't don't go about trying to do that. We go about trying to do the best we can to prove to ourselves that we're as good as we believe we can be. And I think we showed that in this season, that we're a decent team and we're an ever-improving team. And we have a good blend of youth and experience, and it's taken us to the Ireland final. So nothing won, and there's a big day there, and that could be a very disappointing day if we don't perform to the top of our ability. But now we have the chance to do that.
Just for the boys, for everybody involved, and the 36 lads in the panel who've put in such a shift and dedicated their lives to it, you know, over this look, since the start of the year, in a way. And just bitterly disappointed the way it ended up too. You know, we'd got ourselves in a good position. Tyrone got a goal. The boys didn't give up. We kept battling back. We got a couple of scores. Like, it was going in with I couldn't believe when the referee put up for the official put up that there was only 3 minutes left. You know, all year we've used to having 6 minutes, 7 minutes, 8 minutes, 9 minutes injury time. There was loads of substitutions made. Those fellas down injured at different stages, and to be only given 3 minutes, really disappointed with that. And even the last you know, the last kick in went to Kieran. The referee put his hand up. I don't know what he was putting up his hand up, if it wasn't a free in, and then he doesn't give us the free. So look, really disappointed the game ended up, but very, very proud of the efforts the boys put in all year and again today.
It's probably an example of how the championship went this summer, is because they were so stop start, especially in the second half, that you did have those 6-7 minutes of extra time. You didn't have that today, and maybe, I'm sure Mickey Hart probably planned for the same amount of time and didn't have it either.
Yeah, but that's where you just were crying out for consistency. You know, if so many days, you know, we didn't think there was even as many injuries, there wasn't as many substitutions, and we're told there's 7 or 8 minutes left. So today, in the biggest day of our year, you know, the biggest day maybe ever in Monaghan football, to for that consistency not to be shown and to get 3 minutes, and we come back. I think we scored 2 points in that. You know, so it wasn't as if, you know, we weren't on the front foot. So it's bitterly disappointing that way. But look at, you know, listen, at the same time, I'm not trying to make excuses. It's just a very disappointing way to finish the game.
OTBAM is live with Screwfix.ie, championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products. Check out Screwfix.ie for all of your needs there. He's got a point about the free at the end, is that, I mean, it would have been a soft free. Soft free get given all the time, particularly at the end of games. And the hand was up from the referee. Yeah. Well, was that like, oh, a good ball in? Or, yeah, I'm on my way, lads. How are you down there? Linesman, are you watching this? What's going on?
I don't know what it was. Yeah. I've watched it back and I was thinking, he has to have his hand up. He has to be calling the free here. And I think when he kind of saw the initial maybe, like, I mean, and then he kind of went, he just changed his mind. I honestly think he changed his mind on it.
He must have done, because there was almost a lull in the stadium when he gave it. It was like, oh, they're going to get their free. And then suddenly the hand goes down.
Yeah.
They keep playing. It's like, wait a
minute.
Even the
Tyrone lads kind of seemed to slow down a bit.
Yeah.
They were like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was, because first of all, I think people realised, obviously, the begging shot. It was like, oh, he shouldn't have done that. And I was like, oh, but it's a free.
Yeah.
And then when it wasn't given, it was like, ah. I saw a tweet where a few of the Monaghan fellas obviously had came out onto the pitch actually after the game, you know, and they were like, after being showered and everything, they were just looking around the stadium. You might get a few of those fellas, I'd say. The few of those lads have been on the run a long, 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 long time.
Vinnie Corey probably.
Yeah, you'd have to think Vinnie Corey, Desi Moan. I'm not saying, listen, of course they're good enough to go again, but, you know, that is
heartbreak. You know, is it harder?
I think it's hard. I honestly do, because, like, that was, like, it is such a horrible place to be if you lose, say, a semi-final, because you go in underneath the stadium, you shower, you come out, the bus is there, no one's talking, you know, a few people are patting, you know, saying, listen, no one's really talking about you, you don't even want to catch anyone's eye. Some lads are on the bus, some lads are off the bus, some lads who haven't played are kind of, you know, they're involved, but they're not involved. There's a really horrible feeling of some lads just want to get out of there. Literally, some fellas just want to run. You want to get out of there. You want to even just go see your family or just go home and be on your own. But you have to go do the whole thing of the post-match meal and everything else. And you just want it to end. And it is just, I can only imagine for them, because that was an unbelievable opportunity for them yesterday. A really unbelievable opportunity. And regardless of what they may or may not have done against Dublin, like, that was a massive chance for them yesterday. And I think they will feel it much more so than if Tyrone had been beaten. You know, you nearly kind of feel that Tyrone, well, we got caught. Whereas I think Monaghan had everything that they had. They were winning balls yesterday that were 60-40 balls. 70-30 balls, I said to you. I remember one ball bouncing out near the Cusick stand side, and for all intents and purposes, Petey Hart should have got it. I can't remember who just, but someone just went in, absolutely, like, put their head, body everywhere, won the ball. And I remember thinking, there's some defining moments here. And I said, Monaghan have this. Monaghan have this. They're just showing greater desire. But unfortunately, some of the stuff, and this is this horrible thing about, you know, the inevitability sometimes of being the underdog, the stuff that people had said, and we even said last week, which was, you know, you take out certain Monaghan players, their firepower is reduced and their scoring ability was reduced. And I think that's what kind of happened, because we caught up with them in the end.
Yeah, like, the thing with Monaghan, though, is I think we've kind of written their debt right so many times in the last 12 years or so. Like, after 07, it's like, oh, they'll never get back to that level. Then they go and they almost beat Kerry again the following year.
Sure.
A couple of years ago, we were like, that Dublin hammering. Now, granted, they might have got hammered by Dublin this year's final, but that Dublin hammering, it was like, oh, well, that's as far as they can go. They'll never get to a semi-final sort of thing. And they managed to break through that glass ceiling. That they might be back. We've written them off as a team that don't have that bounce-back ability before, and they've always done it.
Yeah.
Like, players like Carl O'Connell are summing up what the next level can be like for those players. You look at someone like Niall Kearns, who's come into the squad this year and has been exceptional at a young age.
Yeah.
He's only going to get better. Mm. Conor McManus has still got life left in his legs. It's kind of like Michael Murphy and Donegal, though. Like, can Monaghan contend without Conor McManus in the future? Probably not. He is that one elite player that they have, which ultimately, when you look at Tyrone, they don't have. And that's why you probably don't give them a chance against Dublin, because they don't have that sort of sublime opportunity that might come out of a weird quirk of events in a match against Dublin.
We'll move on to the analysis of the final event. I just want to play you this first. It's Brian McGuigan with Mark Trass in the aftermath of the game. Or are we going to do Colm Kavanagh? Which would you prefer? Would you, Brian? Yeah, we'll do McGuigan first. Yeah, so here's Brian McGuigan giving some analysis post-match at Mark Trass in Croker yesterday.
Well, look, going by today's performance, it'll not do against the Dublin team, who are just setting the world alight. And, you know, you have to give them credit, because they keep coming back. And I know for myself, you know, winning an All-Ireland, come back the following year was always hard to do. But for Dublin to be doing it consistently year after year, you know, it's a credit to them. But it's the ideal way to go into a final for Mickey Hart and his men, because everybody's expecting Dublin to win, and especially after Tyrone's performance today, where I would have to say that Monaghan probably were slightly better than Tyrone, and a lot of Tyrone's main players didn't play to their potential. But, you know, credit has to go to Colm Kavanagh. I thought he was exceptional today right across the field when he was driving forward. I think he actually got the first point for Tyrone on his defensive play sweeping, and that last tackle at the end was just a match-winning tackle, and he was immense. He was my man of the match today.
Anyone who knows me will know that I'm not a big believer in reading too much into stats, because I often think they don't tell the story of a game. But I found today's stats interesting. I was handed a sheet, and if you look at it here, most of the stats are in Monaghan's favour. Like, they had 56% of the possession, they had nearly the same amount of kickouts, they won more kickouts, they had three less scoring chances from play. Lots of them, and just were in Monaghan's favour, but yet Tyrone won. How does that happen?
Well, look, Monaghan are going to be kicking themselves, because both teams went into this match knowing there was a great opportunity to get to the final. The game was there to be took for Monaghan. They didn't take it. When they went a point up halfway through the second half, you felt that they were going to kick on and win. But Peter Hart, he went and he demanded the ball, made it break through the middle. A good block by Monaghan defender, but Niall Sludden was a hand, soccer-styled into the back of the net. And saying that, Monaghan showed great belief to come back in the game. 3 points behind, they knocked off two scores from Kieran Hughes and Drew Wiley, and you'd have to ask questions of their decision making in the last couple of minutes. Rory Bagham went up there, and you know the way the game panned out, the referee was always going to give a free. They probably should have took it forward and bought a free. Rory Bagham hit the ball and Tyrone got it, and it was game over. But on Malachy O'Rourke's side, you'd have to question why Kieran Hughes wasn't brought on earlier, because with McManus out of the game, he came in and he gave them that wee bit of extra threat, and he was dangerous to Tyrone. If he had come on a wee bit earlier, it could have been a different story.
Yeah, Kieran Hughes' point is not going to get the credit it deserves, but it was a sensational score. The one where he's like got lads hanging out of him, just octopuses it over the crossbar.
Yeah, it was a great score. He's big. it gave it a completely different kind of, you know, option for them in there, that they could just actually kick the ball in, even kind of, you know, any way at all type thing. Like, I mean, you see even from Beggan's shot, like, I mean, he managed to get himself in front of a counter, remember who was marking him at that stage. But he's a big boy, he's obviously well able to shift as well. I'm amazed they didn't actually put him in there. They should have twinned him in there with McManus earlier on, because McManus was doing an awful lot of the looping. But that looping run and that continuous looping run, especially when you're coming into bodies, is very, first of all, it's absolutely kamikaze stuff from the forward, because he's coming at breakneck pace.
You can see him brace himself as well.
There's things coming, and they just needed something different where they could have, you know, given a diagonal ball, and if he was making that looping run, he could have been making it on the 21 rather than making it out on nearly the 45 or the 50 metre line.
Can we take that tweet back up again? Seanie O'Flanagan, some of those Tyrone lads wouldn't be out of place in La Liga. The amount of diving was atrocious. Also the card waving, the waving of imaginary cards is something that, oh, it's never going to come into the GAA. But the Tyrone lads, they trip me up, that's a black card. And you can see, because they do it in football because the referee is from a different country.
Yes.
And they don't speak the same language.
Yeah.
In GAA, everybody speaks English. I mean, maybe you're doing it Osquelga. Maybe it's Cardadove. I don't know. I mean, maybe they are true Fear Gaels, and I'm casting aspersions here. But the imaginary card is waved because the referee doesn't speak the same language as you.
Well, anyway. I tell you, if you think there's going to be shenanigans, as they say, in yesterday's game, there is going to be some serious off the ball stuff going on in the final.
Seanie also wanted to point out there, Kieran Hughes' wonder point, scissor type kick while being dragged around, that was the highlight of a dour game for me, but maybe I'm a hurling snob. Hashtag up Limerick.
Well, that's the thing, actually, the legacy of this season for Dublin is going to be fantastic, because people think they're lovely lads again, because they haven't had to get dirty when they needed to get dirty. They haven't had to pull men down in the final whistle because they haven't been in a cauldron of a battle. Mayo brought it out of them because Mayo gave them a game.
Yeah.
They got hammered Tyrone, and they could, like, just like they've been all season, very nice about it, and we'll all be praising them for how they've got their act together in terms of cleaning up the game.
Let's wait and see what happens in the final. Two final points on this before we do talk about the Dubs. Nearly €1 million worth of empty seating calculated on an average ticket price has to be a concern, says Mark Burke on Twitter using hashtag OTBM. And Frank Craig says, would you buy a ticket to a movie that you know the ending to? Football Championship has become that. When Dublin hammer Tyrone, the disillusionment / disinterest and empty seats will be even greater at this stage next season. It won't be next season. It definitely won't be, because Dublin will be gone for 5 in a row and there'll be a historic element. And that pressure that they haven't felt this season will start to build on them. And also, Kerry will have a new manager. You know, it'll just be different next year. I'm not...
Will it?
Yeah, I think... I would like to have seen a championship where Dublin came up against Mayo and Kerry. Like, imagine if somebody goes to Congress and sorts it out so Dublin get one game in Croker in the Super 8s and they're drawn in the same group as Kerry and Mayo. That at least is interesting. The fact that Kildare beat Mayo ultimately was brilliant for Kildare, didn't really help the championship.
No.
So I blame Mayo for not beating Galway in the Connacht championship, because that Galway team could have done with games through the back door to find a style of play and a bit of confidence. Mayo needed to go through the front door this year and be fit and not have suspensions.
Suspensions, injuries. I still think they would have been lacking, though. I think because they had Andy Moore and a year older, who they were still reliant on. You know, they still haven't unearthed that McManus type individual who Tyrone need and who you need. You need someone who's going to kick 6-7, 1-4, 1-5, 1-6 against
no midfield either.
No midfield either is right, correct. So, Darren said a very interesting thing, which you kind of forget. Like, Tyrone are in the first All Ireland after losing two games in this year's championship. Like, so if you look back on it, whether it's the Super 8 or whatever, like Dublin. So someone takes Dublin next year because they're complacent or that pressure has built. So someone beats them. But they then get ample opportunity that they could possibly even get beaten again.
Yeah.
Or even again, and they could still make the All-Ireland final. So you can see with the squad that they have, are they going to get cut twice?
The Dubs?
Yeah.
I mean, no, probably not. But at least there'll be teams who are good enough. My main issue here is that, like, Galway created a shed load of chances. Now, that chances created stat that RTE used in their commentary is kind of useless, because you need to know, where is it a chance if somebody has a Hail Mary from the sideline, or is it actually a chance?
Which there was a lot of,
where they
by
missed.
The way.
So there's the official stats, 46% possession for Galway. They did okay on their own kickouts. Dublin only lost two of their own kickouts. Scoring chances from play, 22 scoring chances for Galway and then 30 for the Dubs. Now, at half time, it was actually way more scoring chances for Galway. My main concern here is that teams like Galway, who haven't made it and who don't have the self-belief that Mayo have, miss penalties by getting somebody who's never scored a senior championship goal to take a penalty against Dublin in an All-Ireland semi-final. Mm. It's like, it's the catastrophic team error that in the aftermath you go, ah, why did we do that? Why didn't we just give it to somebody who's like, who has confidence and who knows what they're doing? Like, not, it's not that against him as an individual, it's like his goal will come in championship football, but it's not going to come in this stage. Like, you need to be ruthless, you need to be completely efficient, and you also need to have self-confidence when you're going up against the Dubs. I think Kerry would have had that because of their record against them, and I think Mayo would have had it, and it would have been nice to see Dublin tested.
And it probably would have been blind, you know, probably would have been completely based on nothing having that confidence. Well, but still, least,
it's not based on nothing, it's based on having gone up against them in games and, sure, and gone close against them.
Well, I think it's as well, though, it's as much about preparation and it's as much about absolute... Like, I mean, the one thing you kind of realise, and, you know, when you're managing the team and at the level I'm doing it, but it's massively far apart from obviously that the inter-county level. But the level that you see is that absolutely every scenario and every possibility has to be checked. You know, from the thing of, you know, your goalkeeper gets sent off, from the thing of where we're actually down a man, can we move the goalkeeper up and play a fly keeper like we were talking about earlier on? From the thing of the scenario of we're a point down and we get a ball and Rory Beggan has it. Well, Rory, you're not going to try and pot shot from 60 yards off the outside of your boot. We're going to work this. All of those particular situations, Dublin have learned every single one of those over the last number of years. And have brought it then into the next game. So people talk about it. It's the learnings that I think is an amazing thing. That they then tick the box and say, okay, we were caught on that. So you take the Mayo game last year. There was no possibility, like that whole thing of holding the Mayo last, that was completely thought. You go back to Meade versus Tyrone this year, Meade up, you know, take your opportunity, hold the man, do exactly what Dublin did. But it's not practice. It wasn't necessarily in tune in your head. Yeah. And there's a practicing it or saying it in a meeting and then there's actually doing it. So the amount of time, the amount of learning that they take and every possible scenario is looked at. So when it comes down to, oh, we have a penalty, well, should we know who's taking that? Owen's taking that. Because he's, like, I mean, where the Galway players were kind of looking around, you could see Walsh kind of shrugging his shoulders going, well, will I hit it? Will you hit it? There was, like, all of those things have to be checked at this level. And especially when you're getting into the last two or the last four. Every single button. Now, has Hart the ability to do all of those things? You would think, yes, he has.
Yeah.
So at least he'll have... And I'm not blaming Walsh, there's nothing about that. But, you know, you look at the stats, and the stats can be misleading. I felt an awful lot of the Galway scores, a number of them, were just unbelievable, outstanding individual ability. You know, like Walsh kicked a few, and you were kind of going, oh, how did he do that? You know, kind of, you know, whereas the Dublin scores were like, oh, well, they've manoeuvred it around, and it was a pretty easy score.
Even John Armstrong was kicking some wides. You're like, that doesn't make sense. Why is a player of that caliber and that experience? Mm. You know, like, and it felt a little bit like they were somewhat overawed by the experience of playing Dublin, and that shouldn't be happening to teams in All Ireland semi-finals who are supposed to be legitimate All Ireland contenders. It happened last year to Tyrone, and we've seen it happen against this Dublin team because they're so good. So, I don't know. I don't think we can blah, blah, blah a five in a row just yet. I think we should give Kerry and the new Kerry manager an opportunity next season. It's hard to make the case right now that Tyrone are going to stick it to Dublin in any meaningful way. They seem built better than the team that last year. And last year, people managed to talk themselves into it being a close game. But that game was over with the first kick out that Cluxton hits. I don't know who it was. I can't even remember now. Without breaking and like, all right, well, there you go. There's their kick-out strategies over.
Yeah. No, they'll learn from that. I think they will make a game of it, right? Because I think what they've learned, obviously, from they have learned some different scenarios. They've learned some different attacks. Donnelly at the fulcrum in full forward. You know, Lee Brennan was a little bit disappointing yesterday. It was a game where he got the start. And it's always sometimes tricky when you get a guy who comes on and kicks, I think he kicked four from play in the previous game, and you think, well, he's on fire. And then sometimes it's just a little bit step too far. Sometimes you're nearly better off leaving him in reserve because he hasn't started that many games in the championship this year. So you know, you need a bit of an ace in the hole, and possibly he is that. So I don't think he'll start the next day, but you need someone who's going to raise the bar. To be fair to Tyrone, what they do have is they have a very, very strong bench as well, and they have guys that can come on. I think yesterday, I don't know what happened to them yesterday. Like, I was watching it, and I was kind of saying, are they tired? Are they...
complacent? Was it?
You know what? If you were to put, I think honestly it was a bit of complacency. I think they felt when the chances came so easy in that first 10-15 minutes, I think they felt we're going to walk this.
Yeah, I really that think it happened.
Is there any possibility Dublin get complacent?
No,
is that like, you know,
surely not.
I mean,
they're robots.
They think they're going to win this. They've thought they're going to win it all season.
A robot isn't capable of the complicated emotion that is complacency. Like, there is no way that they get complacent about this.
To get complacent, to get taken off. To get whipped.
What if the whole team gets complacent? Because everybody's telling them the same thing again and again. You beat them 20 points last year. You're going to beat them 25 points this year. You're going to put them in the greatest ever All-Ireland final performance since you beat Armagh in the 70s. Like,
unless Dublin are thinking of this as a stepping stone, that they are really believing the five in a row is on. So they're thinking...
Of course they are.
This is our first step on the road to five in a row. And that will put it into a wider perspective for them. This isn't about winning the 2018 All-Ireland. This is about...
Don't even celebrate this one.
This is about removing the debate.
No speech.
Question, I suppose the one thing will be, you know, so the Super 8 is well, okay, it's debatable, but the one thing that Dublin obviously have now is they know that even in the Super 8, not so long ago, that they went up there and they beat Tyrone. So they know that, and Tyrone know that.
Having eased off in the second half.
Correct. So you know, I'm coming in and I'm marking you again, and I know I have your number from the last day. Now, what are you going to bring different to this to take me down? You know, so that every single Dublin player...
A bit more verbals, a bit more...
You can do all that.
Numbers but, written on...
Yeah. You can do it. But it's... So what you need is all of those fellas. Like, I mean, I think Hart has to be... This is a test for Hart and his backroom team. Because he has to bring something that Dublin have never countenanced and have never seen before. He really has to do something. And by the way, why not do it? Like, I mean, I think last year when we remember the game, the build up to it.
Yeah, we were excited.
Oh, Jesus, we were massively excited. But he got, it was like a rabbit in the headlights because I think he decided that day that they were going to try to contain. And when they tried to contain and when it all fell asunder, they had no plan B.
Yeah.
I think this year he just has to say, right, and maybe we might say, well, that's a ridiculous thing to do, but you have to go after them.
But then,
like Mayo
do. So the one counter argument that gives me a little bit of hope that there's going to be a contest in the All-Ireland football final is that the last 10 minutes, Tyrone pushed forward and played really well. And that, like, afterwards they diagnosed the fact that, well, we couldn't defend a 5-point deficit, right? Mm. Try not defending any deficit at the start. And Dublin are so like, oh yeah, come on, let's see what you've got. That actually in that first half, Tyrone could rack up something of a score. Tyrone could score a goal in 8 or a goal in 9 points in the first half of the All-Ireland football final. And Dublin wouldn't blink because they don't care, right? But at least then Tyrone would give themselves a chance and a sense of being in a game.
Mm.
I think gotta go.
Yeah, like I just think, just one final point. I think if you're going to bring something that they've never seen before, you've got to hope that someone like Owen Merchant starts again and just put Conal McCann on him or something and put him in as close to goal as you possibly can. If something bizarre like that is what they'll have to do.
Yeah.
All right. Anthony, good stuff. Thanks very much.
No problem, Nelson.
So, if you like this, you'll probably also like OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show. Subscribe to the OTB AM podcast stream or catch the show live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook or offtheball.com every morning from 7:45 a.m.